So all the weather experts now are critical of Major League Baseball for not changing the entire schedule this weekend. I'm looking for all the apologies that, wait a minute. I don't see any. My bad.
They got lucky. I'm sorry.
Howie Rose. Yeah. Where's the apology to Rob Manfred for having a better meteorologist than you have?
Blind Squirrel finds another
Evan Roberts.
Where's the Fonzie? Yeah. I was rural.
What?
Remember when Fonzie couldn't say the
Fonzie?
Words?
Fonzie?
Yes.
What are you, 90?
Yeah. Come on.
Fonzie?
It's one of the best. It's one of the greatest TV characters in history.
I didn't say it wasn't, but Arthur Fonzarelli you just dropped?
Yes, absolutely.
You got to retire.
Absolutely.
By the way, we'll name a microphone after you or something, but you're done. Oh, my Lord.
That's blasphemy right there.
You just dropped the Fonzie reference on us.
The Fonzie's the greatest.
Yeah, but nobody remembers that.
That's why you got to keep it alive.
Wow.
Buck Showalter joining Craig and Evan at 3:30.
Yes.
Well, I got to start attending these pre-show meetings. We're talking to Buck Showalter at 3:30.
That interview looked very different last night at about 9:30, believe me.
That's why you play the game. And this report, guys, brought to you by News Nation and by your local Mazda dealer. Visit MazdaUSA.com.
No, I got to get one of these Cincinnati Bengals color rush shirts, though. This white with the thing and then the tiger and the Bengals. I like it.
Shut
your mouth.
They beat us last week. Now you get their jersey?
Sweatshirt.
Mets don't win the World Series.
Fraud.
This season
fraud,
was a disappointment.
Fraud. We'd be quiet.
That's
people
we
would call
now, folks.
Hasn't been a fraud. I like the sweatshirt.
Control, Evan.
I like the colors.
They just beat our football team.
Harrison Bader's middle name is Mask.
So what?
Bader.
You get it?
Our football team sucks.
They do suck.
How come I can't find the Color Rush jersey on Fanatics right now? Hey, Tommy, call Fanatics up for me. I can't find the Color Rush sweatshirt, hoodie, on their website right now. And I've seen the images they've put out. I noticed the jerseys tonight are the white on white with the white kind of tiger scratch thing as they get ready for a game against the Dolphins tonight. But I'm on Fanatics right now, and I don't see the Cincinnati Bengals Color Rush sweatshirt.
I think God is telling you something. As a Jet
God's
fan,
telling
you
me
cannot
he loves me,
purchase.
Is what God's telling me, Evan.
You cannot purchase nor ask for a free Cincinnati Bengals jersey.
I'm trying. Why wouldn't they have the Color Rush stuff up there? Like, you think they would, right? Am I wrong in just asking the question?
You would think, as it's getting a lot of positive reviews. People really love that
thing. It looks fantastic, and it'll be on display tonight, and I'm looking forward to it. But welcome to the show, another edition of Carton and Roberts, Evan Roberts, Craig Carton. Lots to do. No baseball tonight, which is great because now you can watch the NFL game without having to worry about missing the New York Mets pennant race, the New York Yankees, Aaron Judge going for 62 now. And by the way, I just like to say this out of the gate. If you go to a baseball game, Evan, as an adult male, and I do not mean this to be sexist, it's not, it's just the way I process it, okay? An adult male goes to a baseball game with the express written purpose of hoping that he gets the opportunity to make the catch on the Aaron Judge home run if he hits it.
Yes.
So that adult male brings a baseball glove with him because I don't want to risk the ball hitting my thumb and ricocheting off, or maybe it caught my pinky and I dropped it. I bring the glove to guarantee I make the catch. Is that not
That's
so
the
far?
Intention of bringing the glove, yes.
So two different guys, and to be fair, there's a third guy there. There was a Yankee fan sandwiched in between the two Blue Jay fans. Three guys, three gloves, nobody makes the catch.
Can you imagine dropping or failing to catch something worth millions of dollars? It's life-changing.
Well, that ball's worth, they say, $500,000 to $1 million.
But
the next one's
it.
Worth
when,
the most.
When you miss a foul ball or a home run at any baseball game, it's more about your pride. It's more about, it's a cool memento to have. It's not really worth anything. Those guys, Craig, missed out on a life-changing experience.
And they're well aware of it. That's why they went to the game.
Yes.
And I'm watching, going, you got to be kidding me. All three of those guys didn't make a play on the ball. Like, what are we talking about?
And then,
that's
course,
why we're fans and the players are players. And every time we get that twisted and we think, oh, I could do that, three knuckleheads, all with baseball gloves on, every one of them dropped the ball.
And then it ends up in the hands of the Blue Jays. And so it isn't even a fan that gets to orchestrate a negotiation.
Right.
It just ends up with the Blue Jays.
Now, there was a negotiation, apparently. Went from the Blue Jays to the Yankee bullpen. From the Yankee bullpen, there was then a negotiation with Aaron Judge. And then with Aaron Judge, there was then a negotiation. Does my wife get the ball? Mm-hmm. Does my mom get the ball? Mom always wins. Mama always trumps wife. So, obviously, his mom gets it. And it was a great moment for Judge, for the Yankees, and those of you that seem to have, you know, a vested interest in this thing happening.
It was cool in that it bailed out Gerrit Cole, who for some reason had a colossal meltdown in the bottom of the sixth inning after being perfect through the first five.
Yeah.
And I think I know this means a lot to Judge because he's talked about it constantly. He's all about winning, 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 winning. It was a game-winning home run. It wasn't
meaningless.
We're up 8-0 home run. Not that there would be anything wrong with that. So I think for Judge, even though, yes, the standings have been determined, they're going to win the division, hitting an important in that game home run, I think, is something that he really wanted.
Now, I know last night, because some family concerns, you did not get to go to the Met game yesterday, but I know you were watching the Met game. So I'd love to know what Evan Roberts was doing in the first six innings of yesterday's
game. Crushing out everybody. Including the manager who's going to join us today. Like, I was very upset about him allowing Taijuan Walker to face Brian De La Cruz.
Okay.
De La Cruz hit a home run earlier. He was 2-for-2 against him.
Right.
He had Seth Lugo warming up, get his ass out the game, and he gives up a double ahead in the count 1-2. But that wasn't the biggest issue. The biggest issue was these bats were dead for the first six innings. That was the biggest issue. And I think most of us watching this game, and the way I watched it, I was behind on the game. All right.
Okay.
But
well, that's normal for you, though.
Well, yes, it was
normal.
You're
watching on DVR.
Watching on DVR on my iPad, and I needed to know what was happening in the Braves-Nationals game. So I have that game next to me, but I can't watch it, Craig, because if I watch it, they may flash the Mets score.
They're going to flash the Mets score.
So I have
right.
it on the MLB Game Day app, where they tell you in play, out recorded. In play, no out recorded, run scores. That's how I'm watching this game.
Ugh.
And so I'm seeing the Nationals nursing a 2-1 lead. I'm like, you know, this is going to piss me off even more. They can't take advantage of this. And never did I think they were going to come back. Even when Eduardo Escobar hit that 2-run home run in the seventh, it still felt like your normal tease. Because Alonso did that the night before. The 3-run home run to get you back in the game. But what was so important, I thought, is that they instantly, the next inning, put another rally together. And it looked like that rally was going nowhere.
Yeah, but hold on.
When Lindor swings at the first pitch and pops up. And now you're down to two outs, and then Eduardo Escobar, who has been so clutch all September, came through with the 2-run hit.
The month of Escobar, as Gary Cohen said.
Of Escobar.
But here's what's interesting. You know, we sat here yesterday, and we actually, it's in a weird way, kind of predicted some of what happened, not the ultimate outcome. We didn't. But we both kind of said, you know, wait, watch the Marlins go up 2-0, mm-hmm. and Met fans feel like, that's it, game's over.
Yeah.
Because there was that, you know, the night before that happened. Excuse me, and the feeling sometimes we had with the Yankees too. So I'm not picking on the Mets here. Sometimes as a fan, you have that feeling, well, the team's lethargic. They're not going to score runs. They're
right.
dead. There's
right.
no spirit. All that stuff.
Right.
And you know, last night it was like that.
100%.
1-0. 2-0. 3-0. 4-0. Here we are now in the last third of the game. No reason at all to think that the Mets had another rally.
The only thing that gave me some hope is when they scored the 2 runs to make it 4-2. What scared me was top of the eighth inning, the Marlins tacking on a run. Kind of like what they did the night before. When Ottavino comes in and gives you that shutdown inning, and now you got 6 outs to go, you're down by 2, you got the top of the order coming up, you feel like you have a half a shot. But that eighth inning was so infuriating because you get the 2 on and nobody out, Lindor pops up. Then you get the bases loaded, 1 out, and McNeil pops up. Both those guys swinging at the first pitch. When Escobar came up after that, as clutch as he had been earlier in the game, that felt like an absolute gut punch to have the bases loaded
right.
1 out and you're not going to score.
Right, exactly right.
And think about what that ball was. It was a weak ground ball to the right side
now,
that found a hole.
Here's the question. As the Mets are being shut out through the first half of the game, a little more than that, did you have, and I know you're catching up because you started on DVR.
Yes.
And I'm trying to figure this out for Met fans. At what point did you know, hey, if we win, we gain a game?
Oh, from so
in relation to what Atlanta was doing.
Okay, so I finished.
That's because you're scoreboard watching.
The Mets tied the game before the game. Well, let me frame it this way.
Because you knew in the 10th, okay. Obviously, the Braves, that was it.
The game ended, for those that were live, I ended up being about 20 minutes behind way it eventually ended. If you're watching the Met game live, the Braves had lost in the top of the 10th inning of the Met game. So you're already in extra innings. Tied the game up.
Right.
Now you know the Braves lost. And by the way, that one game swing is monstrous. I expressed that yesterday.
Beyond huge.
The Mets go into this weekend. Obviously, I want to win 2 out of 3. I'd like to sweep it. But if they lose 2 out of 3, they are still in the driver's seat to win this division, which was my goal for the last 2 months.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm rooting for only winning 1 out of 3.
You want to be in a place, you've said it a million times, where all you got to do is win a single game in Atlanta, and then obviously I'd be Washington
100%,
afterwards. 100%. But in the Atlanta series, you wanted to take the pressure off having to sweep or win the series.
No doubt.
That was the goal.
For me, though, the Nationals won the game about 35 seconds before Eduardo Escobar got the game-winning hit. So my emotions... And I had to be very quiet. Everything's okay, but I was in a hospital last night. And as the game ends, I jump up. I'm doing the silent pump fist. And then my wife looks at me and says, I feel bad you didn't go.
What is
and
the...
And I said, honey, come on now.
I guess it's now that you said it, I didn't... I'm being a good partner here, but now that you said it,
yes.
What's the baby's name?
No.
And I've been very good about not saying anything about it, but I did tell you a year and a half ago that you and your wife were going to have a daughter.
Right.
I'm just wondering, how's the baby doing? What's the baby's name? And how much did he or she weigh?
See, here's the problem now.
Because you just kind of flippantly said,
no, I didn't.
I didn't watch the Met game. I was in the hospital last night.
No, I did watch the Met game. I was in the hospital.
You watched the Met game now... while your wife was giving birth?
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't be the first time.
I mean, I watched the Jets-Steeler playoff game right after my wife gave birth, so I get it.
Before anyone tweets me, congratulations.
Congratulations.
He's full of crap, okay? There's
well,
no baby.
Well, why else would Evan Roberts flippantly say, oh, by the way, I was in the hospital last night, and I'm looking at you. You're wearing the same pants you wore yesterday.
Because I am.
Because you had a baby.
I did not have a baby.
I'm so happy
my
for you guys.
My wife did not have a baby, but everything's okay.
Okay.
All right? Everything's
sure.
fine.
No babies.
Everybody's fine.
Did her water
There's
break?
No baby. There's no water being broken.
Okay.
There will be no baby, by the way.
Okay.
There is no baby. But the mess why, won, I was happy.
Why would you flippantly say, oh, by the way, I was in the hospital
because
last night?
Because I want to explain kind of my scene.
Okay.
I'm sitting in a chair.
Keep it real with the audience.
I want to keep it real.
I assume no SNY in the hospital?
No SNY in the hospital.
Okay.
I'm on one tablet watching the Met game. I'm on the other tablet watching the MLB Game Day app.
All right.
My youngest son is sleeping. I need to be quiet. My wife's half asleep, and there's nurses coming in every 5 minutes.
Right.
And I'm very emotionally into this game. And everybody's taken care of, by the way. I'm a very good father.
Let me just say, his family's fine.
Everybody's
Everyone's
good.
Well. There's no issues.
Minor thing, we're
right.
all good. All good, I swear
all
to
good.
God. All right?
Yeah.
My wife was ready for me to leave.
Evan thought he was a baseball player. He had a cuticle problem, so he went to the ER for it.
Yes.
Help, I'm Jacob DeGrom. Can you cut my nails, please?
But when they won that game, I'm jumping up from this awkward position because it was that kind of game. And
yeah.
I think a lot of Met fans felt that way. The jump up out of your seat. Emotion kind of game.
You know, we talk a lot on this show, all shows, about, oh, that's the biggest win of the year. Oh, that's the biggest win of the year. And obviously, depending on when you win and what's going on around you, you know, a game in July, which in the moment may be the biggest win of the year, you know, 2 months later is now an afterthought because something happened tonight. Last night, listen, it's not even debatable, is the biggest win of the year.
No doubt.
Because Atlanta lost, so they gave you a shot to get that one game lead that you desperately want and need. And let's be honest, you were dead in the water for 6 innings.
Yeah, and as bad as this offense has been, they did something last night they've kind of done all year, but reminded us their ability to fight back. I mean, that's been the story of this team all season.
Well, more early in the season than recently.
Yeah,
but
look,
they do have that DNA.
They
that's
have
fair.
That in their DNA, and it was kind of a reminder for any diehard Met fan, and I'm not going that far back to bring this game up. It reminded me of the Asdrubal Cabrera game from 2016 when he hit the walk-off home run against the Phillies and had the greatest bat flip of all time. That turned out to be, even though it wasn't a special year, 2016,
they lost immediately. That's the regular season game we all remember.
Yep.
Truthfully, that is. You remember the Asdrubal Cabrera game. This obviously was the Eduardo Escobar game. It was also the bullpen game because the bullpen had to step up. Drew Smith did a tremendous job in the 10th inning, and we were all freaking out about it. We'll ask Buck later. I think most Met fans were thinking, hey, this is a big game. Why isn't Diaz pitching a second inning? I think we all thought that.
Fair enough. It's a fair thought.
We all had it. Very few of us had confidence in Drew Smith with a runner on second and nobody out in the 10th inning. And guess what? He got the freaking job done. And so did Eduardo Escobar. And the Mets got a victory they needed. And now it's all set up. They made a decision, which I understand, but I'm not totally in favor of. And that's flipping the rotation to have DeGrom on Friday. Fine. I'm not mad at it.
And by the way, as of right now, the weather forecast for Atlanta is, okie dokie. So they're not moving the game up. There's no reason to. And you go Friday, Saturday, Sunday as originally planned. And that's where you're at.
And
that's your season right there.
Here's what it comes down to.
And yeah, by the way, Buck Showalter will be live and exclusive with us today at what time?
3:30.
Buck Showalter.
It's very simple. You win all three games against the Braves, there's a party Sunday night. The Mets win the division. If you win two out of three against the Braves, and all you've got to do is win a game against the Washington Nationals. If you lose two out of three, you just have to beat the Nationals three times in a row, assuming the Braves don't give you help and stub their toe. So it's really all in front of you now to secure this National League East, which is not a guaranteed trip to the NLCS, but the road is less crooked. The road has less bumps in it. If you win this division, get that rest and automatically go to the NLDS. And for us as Met fans who don't have a lot of division titles in our history, I've only seen two in my lifetime, it matters. It's important, and now it's right in front of us to seal the deal this weekend in Atlanta.
Well, we got lots to talk to you about. Obviously, the big New York Met win. Aaron Judge hits a 61st. You have Aaron's mom and the son of Roger Maris Jr., embracing and enjoying it. And then, amazingly, Roger Maris Jr. threw Barry Bonds. I mean, that's pretty much what his name is now. Threw Barry Bonds under the largest bus you could ever find in your lifetime. I will go down that road as well. Lots cooking, especially the experience for you as a fan, because now here's what you're set up with. Three games against the Baltimore Orioles. The outcome of the game, totally irrelevant. But if you have a seat in left center or right center, or heck, dead left or dead right, the get-in price is already absurd. Earlier this morning, it was $350. Now I'm being told it's almost double that.
Wow.
Whoever catches, if anyone, the next Aaron Judge home run, you are an instant multi-millionaire. The price tag right now is $3 million. So it's no longer about the game. Of course, it'd be nice to win. Can the Yankees still get to 100 wins?
Yeah.
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
But everybody going to that game, it's now about dust off the old Mizuno, go get the A2000, oil it up, and make sure if that ball hits your glove, you catch it. That ball makes you an instant multi-millionaire.
We all know and respect that you're a bougie guy. We all are. But if I handed you...
Yeah, slightly, I drive bougie. An Elantra.
Yeah.
I just want to reiterate that point. While I have bougie tendencies at times, when we're talking about going to games...
Well, that's my point.
I drive a Hyundai Elantra with 35,000 miles on it. Yes, the seat is broken. It doesn't go back or forth.
I mean it in terms of going to games. If I gifted you a ticket
in
which you were in the front row, in the left field bleachers.
Okay, where I used to have season tickets for Boomer.
You used to have season tickets.
We had four seats in those exact seats.
And you're a great athlete. You'd be the first to tell us.
I am a fantastic athlete.
You have a chance to sit out there, make a catch, and quit one of your two jobs. You have a chance to do that because you'd make so much freaking money.
$3 million.
Would you bring your glove?
No.
Why not?
No.
Gives you a better chance at it.
Because, number one, I'm an adult. Number two, these hands are special. All right, these hands, they used to call me Crazy Glue Carton when I was in junior high school at Albert Leonard Junior High School. Crazy Glue Carton. If it touched my hands, it stuck. That's right. No, I'm an adult. I'm 50 years old. I'm not bringing a baseball glove to a game. That's why I don't bring a tennis racket to a tennis match.
It's very
different. I don't wear a hockey mask to a hockey
game.
You're
not volleying when you go to the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
You're not stopping a puck when you're on a hockey game. But when you're at a baseball game, you have a chance to make a catch that changes your life.
$3 million would change my life.
Changes your life.
Overnight change my life.
If you catch that baseball, you quit. No, I know that.
I'd be gone.
Well, you'd quit the other job. You wouldn't quit this job.
If I had $3 million locked up, guaranteed, pop, 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 peace out.
Yes.
Bye-bye. Never hear from me again. You'll see me at Sotheby's smiling ear to ear when the gavel comes down and it goes $3.4 million sold.
So is there not a small part of you that would say, you know what, Friday night, maybe I will go to Yankee Stadium.
No part
maybe
of me.
Maybe I will sit in the left field seat. No. Why not?
For a lot of reasons.
You can catch a ball in life-changing event. You can't play the lottery. No one's saying you should.
I can't. That's
you
right.
You can't. But you can go to Yankee Stadium and catch a baseball.
Yeah, no. True. Not going.
Why not?
No interest in it.
Why?
Number one, I don't like baseball.
You don't like $3 million?
Of course. I've never seen $3 million. Well, that's not true. I won it once. No. No. And it didn't change my life, sadly enough. It's a great question, Evan, and I have no good, plausible answer for why I have no interest in going. I guess I'm not entertained enough by baseball to go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Plus, he's going to get four at-bats, and my luck, I'll go to the game he says, I'm going to take this one off.
I'll tell you, man. I'll make you this prediction. First of all, he doesn't need
an off day. He's going to play all three.
He's playing all three games at Yankee Stadium.
He's not going to play all four in Texas.
No, and I get that. They have a doubleheader on Tuesday. You want to sit one of those games, fine. Yeah. But does Aaron Judge look like a guy that needs an off day?
No, but I'll give him credit for this because, you know, Aaron Boone told this story. He's not like he told it to me. He said it publicly that once they clinched the division the night before, one of the first one-on-one conversations he had with any of the players was Aaron Judge. And he goes, you tell me what you want to do. Whatever you want to do, I'm going with it, right?
Right.
And Aaron Judge said, and you got to love him for this, I want to play. Now, if he hits 62 on Friday night, tomorrow night, he might say, I'm good to go on Saturday. I'm not playing. That's possible.
Right.
Because then he's got the record.
Yeah.
Like, then it's just a matter of how many more does he hit.
I do
He's not getting to 73.
Even though Boone would be doing nothing wrong, he would be doing nothing wrong, I wonder if he feels pressure about the fact that there's going to be 45,000 people there.
You're saying if he hits it on Friday, do you do Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah, I think there may be more pressure to have to play him at home.
Well, I would tell you this. By the way, if you are looking to make money on your ticket, here's where you're in a very interesting spot. Right now, and you can look it up, those tickets are ridiculous.
Yes.
Specifically, the outfield seats are stupid. Evan will give you the exact number now.
Yes.
This morning it was $350. I was told right before we came on it might be double that now.
Wow.
You'll check, okay?
Yeah, I'm checking.
Here's the rub, though. Let's say you're lucky enough, you bought a ticket for $30, you know, months and months ago. If you don't sell them now, and he hits it tomorrow, the Saturday and Sunday tickets are worthless.
I don't know. Worthless?
Worthless. 64 is not worth more than 62.
What if it's his last? You don't think that's worth more?
You could call Brandon Steiner if you want.
Whatever the final number is, and we have no idea what it is. A guy could hit 3 home runs in Texas. I have no idea. But wouldn't you think whatever that number lands at, that home run would have great value?
Evan, I'll tell you this. I am not an expert by a long shot on memorabilia. I don't claim to be.
Oh, my God.
My gut tells me that 62 is more valuable than anything after
that.
Okay. All right, so you're looking at it, right?
Yes.
What's the price?
The get-in price, just to get to the game, is about $75, which is pretty high.
That's anywhere, though.
Anywhere.
That's probably foul territory.
No doubt. Yeah. No, I'm not saying
it. Okay.
If you want to sit in section 136,
where is that?
Which
that's
is
left center
field, $567 a ticket.
That's for tomorrow.
That's for Friday.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you have Saturday or Sunday?
I do.
Go.
It's loading right now. Please wait while we load for tickets.
It's
going to
be
New
less,
Yankees.
But that number's going to drop as soon as he hits it. Becomes worthless.
I don't know. It's going to drop. I don't know about worthless. Worthless is too strong.
All right, so it's $500 to change to sit in the bleachers.
All right, here we go. You ready?
That's a $30 ticket.
Same section for Saturday. The get in for there would be $318.
Yeah, it's almost half.
Yeah, but still a lot.
Compared to what the face value, sure.
So last night, while I'm watching the Met game, my plan was, as a good talk show host, when I'm done with the Mets, when I'm done with the Braves Nationals, I'll watch the Yankee game on DVR.
Yeah.
I don't want to know anything. I'll watch it when I'm done. As I'm watching the Met game, a Fox News banner pops up on my screen.
Oh,
Aaron Aaron Judge's 61st home run.
Oh, you try to avoid it as much as you
can. So as much as I've perfected the DVR, sometimes news gets in the way.
What did you think about the radio and the TV call? Because I have a pretty strong opinion on it.
What did I think of the radio and the TV call?
Have you heard both? I assume you
have. I have, yes. I'm trying to... I thought what Kay did was very creative, and I'm not sure if you know what he did. That's obviously pre-planned, but I actually don't dislike it.
Okay.
He paid homage to the call on Roger Maris's 61st home run.
Okay.
He did that. Okay. I thought that was kind of cool. And it wasn't forced to the point where you probably don't know that, and no offense to you.
I had no idea.
You had no idea. So it's not forced. So if you appreciate it, great. And if you don't, not a big deal.
He mimicked the words that were used back in 61?
Can you get the Roger Maris home run call?
Which, radio or TV?
The TV one.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
I forget. Maybe they were both.
Is it Mel Allen?
I think it was Phil Rizzuto. Actually.
Rizzuto, okay. Fair enough.
Get that call. You have it? Not quick enough?
They'll get it. All right, fair enough.
I appreciated that. Okay. John was John.
Yeah.
I think John is Mr. Reliable. As long as he doesn't screw up a call by thinking it was foul or thinking it was caught, his home run calls all kind of have that same big feel
to thought
it.
I thought both calls were fine. I thought John did what he does for Aaron Judge.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think he tried to make a bigger mockery of it.
No.
And I thought Michael Kay's call was fine. Like, I don't think either call is like, oh, my God, I got to get that call into the Hall of Fame right now. That's the greatest call I ever heard.
Right, right.
Neither call sucked either.
Right.
I want to be clear about that. And maybe the next one, when he breaks the record, will be the, this call's more about me than it is about him.
Well, think about this.
If you're the broadcaster, as much as you're being paid, you know, to paint the picture, to tell the story, you also are very well aware, because of the world we live in now, that your call is going to be critiqued as much as the player's performance.
Oh, absolutely.
So I would think, as big as last night was,
I agree.
When you break the record, that call, whether you know the critics like it or not, and I would say to Michael Kay and to John Sterling, that's the call that becomes your legacy.
No doubt. I think that the proof of that is I don't remember 61 for Mark McGwire. I don't remember hearing 60 for Roger Maris. Those are the tying records, obviously, at the time. We remember the record-breaking
home
run.
Which is why the next home run is the legacy call.
And I thought Bob Costas made a great point when he did the K-Rod broadcast, when he said one of the most underrated calls in the history of baseball was Joe Buck's call of McGwire 62. And his reason for it, I thought this was fascinating. He said, because it wasn't a moonshot. You didn't have time to know. It was close. It was a very un-McGwire.
Was it down the left field line?
Yes, good call. Against Steve Traxel. And so Joe Buck did, it's got a chance.
We'll get that one, too, over the course of the next
It was a great point by Costas. I never thought about it that way, but it's true. Like, it wasn't an obvious call, which almost makes it more difficult, I think.
Yeah, we got lots to do. We got phone numbers to give you, too. 877-337-6666. Carton Roberts on the Fan, live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. After the break, we'll let you hear the calls, in case you haven't heard them yet. TV, radio, the call from 61, and if you can find that Joe Buck call from McGwire that Evan's talking about, I'd like to hear that one again, too.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Joining us now on the hotline is the manager of the first-place New York Mets down in Atlanta for 3 games, Buck Showalter. It's Craig and Evan on The Fan up in New York City. How you been, Buck?
Good, man. How are you? We got in here finally, and everybody got to bed about 6 a.m. and see what happens.
6 a.m., day off, and then it's a 3-game series, ostensibly to win the division. Give Met fans a sense of how you're feeling right now about how the guys are after last night's huge come-from-behind win. All the news circling about, the storm, and are we moving the game? Are we not moving the game? And the kind of state of mind your team has as you get ready for these 3 games.
Well, first of all, guys, in the circles, it's not an off day. It's just a day you don't play a game, okay?
What's the difference?
There's a big difference, trust me. If you'd have been in this room, this hotel room, you'd have known what I'm talking about, but this is the first break I've gotten. I hope it's going to be a break. No, but everybody's, you always take a pulse for the team a little bit, and very proud of. They've worked very hard to get this opportunity, and that's what we look at it as. And, you know, there's games after this. There were games before that we turned the page on, and, you know, you live in a world that, you know, it's a what have you done to me lately world. They understand it, and you take that on when you have these opportunities. So, you know, it's the pressure is what you make of it. It's a privilege. A lot of people would love to be in our shoes. So, regardless, you know, our guys have had a great season. They're going to get a chance to roll the dice in October. We'll see from what angle it'll be. But the weather looks good here.
Yeah.
And I grew up around hurricanes, and I kept telling people 5 or 6 days ago, guys, it's going to change 4 or 5 times. Don't get too bogged down in it. And it has. And at the end of the day, we'll all play 162 and see where we are when the smoke clears.
What went into the decision to move Jacob DeGrom to tomorrow night?
Didn't really move him. He's getting an extra day's rest.
Well, but you're moving Chris Bassett back 2 days, so you move the rotation.
Not really. But we, you know, we've been kind of moving things around according to the needs of our players and where they are physically and knowing a lot of things that we certainly don't go out there publicly about. But, you know, there's a lot of things that we know about, and we're in a good place, and this is our best foot forward. If you look at all the way things change from night to night, it gives us the most versatile opportunity to go a lot of different directions as the season progresses and be able to put our best foot forward.
Does it open up a scenario where game 162 matters, you'll pitch Jacob DeGrom, even at the risk of losing that game and having the wild card series start in 2 days? Is that on the table?
Everything's on the table. That's why we did it this way. Also, if you look at Chris Bassett, has pitched more innings at any point in his career, and trying to make sure that he can put his best foot forward like he has for us most of the year. And we've used every opportunity to stop and look at each pitcher and see how we can serve their needs and keep them healthy and keep them on the field, not only our starters, but with our bullpen. And I'm pretty proud of the health of our pitching staff right now as we stand here in the 150s games. So it's been done to put ourselves with an opportunity to have everybody healthy and put our best foot forward, whatever situation may present itself.
Do you feel comfortable? I think Jake's thrown 100 pitches once. I know he wore down against the Pirates last weekend, but do you feel comfortable pushing Jacob DeGrom maybe a little bit more than we've seen in the starts he's made since his return?
Depends on what you call pushing. You know, we'll take the games and we'll look at them as it progresses. The other team usually tells you how a pitcher's doing. And I hope we have that decision to make. But, you know, you got to get cooperation from the other team, and that doesn't always happen. Pitching in the big leagues 3 or 4 times around the order is very difficult and very rare. If anybody could do it, it would be Jake. But we'll do what's best for our team, and we'll do what's best for the health of our players.
I know Jake is probably a victim of his own dominance, that when he has a start in which he looks like a human being, we all react. I know I was like, oh, my God, that's not Jacob DeGrom. What was your reaction to what happened against the A's? And I guess coupled with the last thing against the Pirates, but really that game against Oakland.
You know, if you know Jake, he doesn't get involved in excuses. I think what people miss is how competitive he is. I think when he's pitching, because he makes it look so fluid and sometimes effortless, and it's not, that we expect, you know, it's just such a rare thing. And these are the best hitters in the world. And there were a lot of factors that figure into things that are in the past. And we're looking forward to him pitching tomorrow night like we are Max the next night and Bass the next night. And Jake's just, you know, it's kind of tough if you think about it, guys. You go out there every night and people just think he's just going to throw his glove out there and people are going to, you know, kneel at his feet. That doesn't happen. And he knows that. And he takes that on. But it's remarkable to me from a team standpoint and from individual standpoints when people do what they're expected to do. You know, the biggest, I think one of my biggest fondnesses of teams that win when they're supposed to team. I'm supposed to win when everybody says they're going to win, because there's such a mental edge the other team has when they're playing with house money. That's why you're so careful in advance meetings and not painting really good pitchers like Max Fried tomorrow night as unhittable and unbeatable. You know, sometimes I've said to guys, well, when they got through talking, I said, well, we got no chance tonight.
Right.
Go out there and have some fun and make sure nobody gets hurt, and we'll try tomorrow night.
Talking to Buck Showalter, manager of the New York Mets. Mets getting ready for a three-game series. It's Fried and DeGrom, Scherzer, Kyle Wright. And then on Sunday, you know, obviously weather permitting, it looks like the weather's going to be fine. It's Chris Bassett and Charlie Morton. You know, Buck, I always wonder this. You know, this is a franchise that has not been involved in a pennant race like this all that often, if ever. And for the last month or so, 5 weeks, it's been literally every day, up one, down one, up two, up one, down one, you know, up and down between you guys and the Atlanta Braves. And I know for a lot of teams, especially teams that don't have a lot of experience going through that, it can be emotionally and mentally draining. And I'm wondering, as you take stock of this team, if at any point you felt that they looked to you to be tired?
I think they pretty much answered that question. Everybody's, you know, challenged physically and emotionally and mentally this time of year. You know, the teams that are really tired are the teams that aren't playing in the playoffs, that are going home when the season's over. You know, we all don't know what we can push ourselves to until we're asked to. And this isn't a normal thing doing your body. We're playing over 200 games, you know, counting spring training. I mean, I chuckle at football coaches who might make the mistake of saying around me, geez, we just weren't ready to play this week. This week? was that before or after your off week?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's that type of sport. It's what separates it. And you can't get bogged down into putting too much stock in one thing or the other, because it's about shortening your bad times and stretching out your good times. And nobody's as good as the game they make you think you are sometimes, and nobody's as bad. So, you know, it's a good self-evaluation. And our guys have stayed in the moment, and I'm very proud of them.
So tomorrow night, Max Fried, ace of the Braves, we mentioned it. Who's the right-handed DH tomorrow night?
Well, you have to wait and see, won't you?
It can't be Darren Ruff, right? I mean, it can't be. And no offense to him, I'm sure there's a big adjustment when you're traded. He's been awful.
Barron's down the hall. Let me get him down here.
No, I mean, I tell him, I would say it respectfully, but he's been terrible.
Oh, it'd be great if you went and got him, by the way.
And I would say the same thing, Darren.
By the way, do you think that's respectful?
Yes.
You know how good Darren is at what he does?
Yes, I do. That's why I liked the trade at the time, but he hasn't hit here.
Yeah, that's true.
And you haven't played him. Like, I think over the last few days, you've shown that. You've given Vientos an opportunity, yeah. Which is right. I agree with you.
Well, I think you guys will... It'll be revealed to you when the right time comes what direction we're going to go.
In all seriousness about Ruff, because I like the trade, so I have to own that. Like, he crushes left-handed pitching. There's a reason why, as a fan, I was like, I love that deal. He's struggling. I'm sure being traded at the trade deadline, it's not easy. For you as a manager, when you make a decision on, all right, who am I putting out there in the lineup? He has a track record, which I do respect. And then you've got a kid in Vientos who's showing something. You know, I see him at the plate, and there's been progress. I don't even have a hit last night. How do you make that decision between a kid who's at 25 plate appearances at the major league level and a guy who absolutely has a resume against left-handed pitching, but the reality is he hasn't hit over the last 2 months?
Well, it's tough. You can try to push the envelope and play Darren in right field and get them both in there, but, you know, Darren's an adequate out there, but he's not as good as some other people. Usually my tiebreaker is defense. Usually the tiebreaker is defending, because that's usually what shows its head. But that's the beauty of baseball. You can't make the at-bat fall to your best hitter, and you can't make the ball be hit to your best defenders. You know, it's an ultimate team sport. But, no, you take everything in, and you try to put your best foot forward. There's a lot of things that I know that other people don't know when we come through the decision-making process from day to day. But, you know, this isn't about living to fight another day. It's in the here and now, because there isn't games 50, 60, 70 games from now. Some things you do for the long haul. I've always said there's about four different ways you manage. You manage in the spring. You manage in a regular season. It used to be this awful thing called September call-up baseball. You had 38 guys.
Oh, I remember, yes. Yes.
Thank God they came to their senses there.
Amen.
Gary Francona would still be in Boston, I think, if we hadn't had 38 players on the roster in Baltimore in 2012.
I remember.
It was bad. I felt bad about it, because it wasn't right. And so we'll see. And then the postseason, and when the game's dwindled down, there's a little different approach there, too.
You bring up managing differently now, because obviously every game matters. You're managing who gives you the best chance to win. Has, in your opinion, Tomas Nito earned the hey, that's my everyday catcher. Based on his defense, I think his clutch hitting ripped that double last night. He's hit a lot better the last few weeks. Do you view him as a guy that's earned the most of the time catcher's job?
Well, he's gotten his share, fair amount, and probably a little bit more than Mac. You know, we keep waiting. We keep thinking that, you know, Mac's had a couple of injuries that right at a really bad time, and he's never been able to get back to that track record he's had of hitting, you know, before he came to New York. So I'm certainly aware that Tomas is hitting well, especially against left-handed pitching, and I'll keep that in mind.
With Marte, because I think this is really important because it kind of solves a lot of the issues. When Marte's healthy, he's in right field, makes the lineup fit better. When he can grip a bat, which I hope that's tomorrow, but obviously he's got to grip a bat, how long before being able to grip a bat and throw a baseball before you could realistically expect him to be in the lineup?
I don't know, what, about 15 minutes?
Good. That's what I want to hear.
That's what I'm saying. Talking to Buck Showalter few moments.
Guys,
go ahead, Buck.
Let me, I try to keep in mind, and I tell people that he has a broken bone, okay? And people say this time, we have doctors that weigh in the usual healing process and what have you. It's little by little, and he's not going to play here in Atlanta. But who knows? He may come down in my room, knock on the door, says, you know, I don't feel a thing. Let's go. And it's going to be a pretty quick process once he's able to grip a bat and throw a baseball.
Are you, because I was jokingly saying yesterday when the update was, boy, there's, you know, he's not coming back yet. I got pissed at Mitch Keller because I think back to him hitting him. And it's become famous this year. Every time you guys get hit, we see your image looking rather upset, well, rightfully so.
I don't look at that. What is that?
Well, basically, they show your face every time a
Mets
hit.
You look like Tom Coughlin in Green Bay 8 years ago on the sideline, not happy and red-faced.
You look mad, and rightfully so.
Well, it does make me mad. But you know what's funny, guys? Through the years, I could be picky and say three or four. I don't think one of them has been intentional. Everybody's got some personal opinions about why there's so many more hit by pitches. We're not breaking the record. We're shattering. Unfortunately, we're going to put it at a level that nobody's ever going to reach.
You're right.
Even though Mike Puma reminded me in 1889, somebody had more.
1889.
Hey, Buck, tell me, just walk me through, because we didn't get to talk to you right after the game. What was going through your head when the first base umpire said, balk, 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 run?
Well, I got to tell you, it doesn't really surprise me from the standpoint. They sent out an edict about 10 or 12 days ago. I don't know how they got to this point in game 148 at the time that all of a sudden they were going to start bearing down on it. And we were told that there'd been a lot of, people not adhering to the rule, and they're going to start enforcing it harder. In fact, the home plate umpire told McCann that night that, you know, hey, we're just doing what they're telling us to do.
Right.
It's like I told Donnie Mattingly. I said, be sure to tell Richard I wasn't the one that raised
the ball. He probably thinks it. Was there?
Go ahead, bud. But Richard, you know, it's pretty much the same delivery Richard's been using for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And I understand their frustration.
And he was never called for one until that night. Was there?
Well, I got a couple of guys that are on the cusp, too. Believe me, I called down to the bullpen before they come in and go, hey, after what's going on with Richard, heads up about what they might do to us.
Was there a thought last night, and it worked out that you didn't do it because Drew Smith was great, and that could be important down the stretch, but did you give a thought to Diaz coming out for the 10th?
You're talking about Edwin? You broke up there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Edwin Diaz coming out for the 10th. He struck out the side in the 9th, tie game. He got the whole stupid runner on second rule. Was there a thought to letting Edwin pitch a second inning?
Of course, but I knew Drew would pitch real well. No. Nobody knows that. It's of course I did. And of course Jeremy and I talked about it.
What made you decide against it?
His pitch counts up a little bit. He had pitched the night before, and pitching the second inning might have taken him out of the first game of the Atlanta series.
What made you decide to keep Taijuan Walker in to face Brian De La Cruz after he hit him a couple of times?
He had some of the better stuff he's had all year. And, if you had hindsight, you'd look at things differently. But there's a lot of thoughts and a lot of give and take that goes on and things, but I don't have the gift of hindsight.
You said something interesting. I think Craig would be intrigued by this. I was watching your post-game presser, because I watch all of them, Buck. I study them.
Why?
I study them like an event.
Because he's got nothing else in his life.
That's not true.
You understand? His children don't know who he is.
That's not true.
His wife introduced herself to him last night.
Stop.
Because I find it entertaining. You said something, and no one questioned like what you were talking about. And if it's private, I understand. You said something happened driving to the ballpark yesterday that was a lot.
What happened driving
to the ballpark yesterday? Was it traffic or something else?
Just traffic. Every day you got challenges. Okay. You had some today. I guarantee you.
I did. You had to go push.
You had to say to yourself, let's go, suck it up, push.
Oh, yes.
You know? I mean, that's life.
Okay.
It is what it is, whether it's Eduardo. Believe me, driving the 30, 40 minutes every day, it's, I don't know how you guys do it. I return a lot of phone calls of people that I need to call back, an old high school buddy, a friend that I haven't been able to return their call. And, you know, what do you call them, guilt calls?
you use your
time wisely, right?
That's right. By the way, for me being in that car for an hour each way is therapy. I'm not lying.
What about the people you're driving next to? They consider it therapy for you?
Not when I cut them off. They don't. Before we let you go, I had one question. You know, we on radio talk shows, fans, you know, obviously we're never wrong. The Mob's never lost the game. And we like to hold every player, every manager accountable for every decision. And then the rub has always been, well, listen, you give us a really good team that wins a lot of games and goes to the postseason, and we'll be there to support you. We'll sit in the seats and have a sold-out building. And we've not done that for you guys this year. And I'm wondering if you're even aware of that, if the guys are aware of it. But here you are in a legitimate pennant race. You're at home against the Marlins. This has been the case for the last month or two. And you look around at a lot of empty seats. And I'm wondering if you guys are aware of that. And if so, what your thoughts are about your fan base that loves the team, wants to see you win, but they're not coming out to watch. Any thoughts on that?
I love our fan base and support. I said last night the place was electric. And anybody that makes a decision in today's world to come out to a ballpark and go to a game, think about all the, you know, the challenges you have, whether it be driving, whether it be parking, it's not free. You know, I'm thankful for every person that says, you know what, I want to be a part of this. I can tell you one thing, we travel as good as anybody in baseball. I can't tell you what it meant to us in Oakland those last two games to have our fan base there. I mean, we were ahead of them, and we travel well. They've been supportive, you know, and our guys feed off of that. And we know we're doing something very important to them, and trust me, we take it just as seriously as they do. And I'm just amazed by the fan support we've had all year long. And it's up to us to gain their trust, and that's what we're trying to do.
Get it done this weekend, baby. Get it done, buddy.
It'll make Citi Field a very interesting place early next week for sure. As always, we appreciate the time. Just out of curiosity, how many hours of sleep did you get last night?
Let's see. Turn out the lights at 6. And started with some baseball stuff we're working on about 10:30.
Wow. All right, so about 4 hours, but less than that. You probably got to wake up and shower, have your coffee, eggs and bacon. So about 3 hours of sleep. That's not bad, huh?
Hey, it's overrated, right?
As we all say, we'll sleep enough when we're dead. There's no doubt about that. Well, listen, good luck. Knock on wood, the weather does hold off. It looks like it's going to. And we'll get the entire series in without any doubleheaders. And we appreciate your time as always, and look forward to talking to you in the postseason. And safe travels back home, Buck. Appreciate your time.
Yes, safe driving there, guys. All right.
Thank you.
Buck Showalter, everybody.
Use a blinker.
I'm going to try to remember that. Manager of the New York Mets. You get all the answers you wanted there, Evan, or anything concern you?
I get the vibe that Vientos is getting a start tomorrow night. I understand.
See, it's so funny. I got the other vibe.
That he's going to start Darren Ruff?
Yeah.
He's not going to start Darren Ruff. He can't start Darren
Ruff. I'm just saying. I got the other vibe.
Just don't tell him what to do. That's all.
Hey, well, he didn't like that. Very disrespectful.
No. I'm not disrespectful. I'm calling it like it is. I'm respectful to the man's career. He's been bad for 2 months. And, hey, look, Buck Showalter makes a lineup out. Did he put Darren Ruff in it recently?
No, he did not.
So what's more disrespectful?
I'm just saying. He said you were being disrespectful.
Listen, he's going to protect
his
guy.
You have a history of being disrespectful.
I am not disrespectful. I'm calling
Mets
it like it is.
Manager comes on, it's like.
That's it.
Well, it's like Sylvester Stallone and over the top. He turns the hat around. He's ready. He's ready for the Mets manager, baby.
I was not disrespectful to Buck.
Yeah.
I questioned some of his decisions.
Yes.
But no, I was merely calling out what's obvious to anybody who watches games, which is Darren Ruff has probably lost the trust of being in that starting lineup.
Well, and I mean, what you need to know is the lineup. But he can pay lip service, and I get it. He's protecting his guy. Are you starting him or not? Lately, the answer's been no.
I'll make it very simple.
Yeah.
Luis Guillerme plays second base against the lefty. Escobar plays third. McNeil plays right. Your right-handed DH is Mark Vientos. Period.
Stop. Alta.
That's the best. And Tomas Nito catches. That's the best lineup at this moment that gives the Mets the best opportunity to win.
By the way, only because he's a cagey veteran, been around the block a few times, manager, did he not fall for that little trap I set him?
What was your trap?
Take a shot at the fans.
Nah, I wouldn't do that.
I set him up to take a shot at the fans.
He would never do that.
You knuckleheads for not going to watch the Mets play. And by the way, the Mets have no idea why either. So let me help them out. Four words, yeah. And it's so simple.
Sign Allen Judge. What?
Bacon on a stick.
Oh, that's it?
You bring back the bacon that the Yankees stole from you, and the place will be a sellout. You think people are going to Yankee Stadium for Aaron Judge's home run chase?
No.
I say no, sir.
No way.
They're going for bacon on a stick. That's all I got. That's all I got.
I am curious about the flip of DeGrom and Bassett, because he did change the rotation. I know he said he didn't change. He did change the rotation.
Oh, he did. It was going to be Bassett was supposed to pitch tomorrow.
Because what I find fascinating about this, and I actually brought this up on Rico Brogna a month ago because I'm that kind of loser, but now it's relevant. So now me bringing it up is worthy of conversation.
Let's go.
DeGrom is lined up to pitch the final day of the regular season.
Pardon me. Can I get a spoon, Tommy? How am I going to eat the ice cream without a spoon?
They didn't give you a spoon?
No, they don't give you a spoon.
What are you talking about?
Because you don't get, because you ordered ice cream, you didn't order a spoon.
They usually ask you, do you want utensils, or would you rather pass on the utensils?
I never fill that box out.
Well,
so now my Ralph's Italian ice is melting, because Tommy didn't think that the boss needed a spoon.
What flavor did you get?
I got that mint chocolate we like so much.
I love
you want
that
some?
Mint chocolate. Nah.
I'll give you a bowl.
Nope.
I got bowls in my office.
No, thank you.
All right.
Trying to lose weight.
All right.
Trying to make me fat, and I don't appreciate it.
Trying to lose weight.
So he's got DeGrom lined up to pitch the final game of the regular season. Would you risk potentially losing that game? Let's say it's a win and you win the division scenario, because that's the only way you'd pitch, right?
Right, right, right.
Would you risk, hey, they don't hit that day, they lose 2-1, and not having DeGrom available in the wild card series?
It's a great question, and because here's the rub on it. You win the game, you're not in the wild card. You get a bye. That's what we're going after, right? So,
and he's in line to pitch game one of the divisional series, no problem.
So to me, if you value the bye, and of course you do, you have to value the bye, because now you're in the NLDS.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get the bye, he can pitch game one of the NLDS.
Agreed.
Or if you want him game two because you have Scherzer,
fine.
You have that luxury.
Doesn't matter.
Either one, I agree. So to me, you're already in the postseason. That's not up for debate here. I think you try to win the game to guarantee the bye.
Okay, and by the way, I think a lot of people would agree with you, but let me counter this with
this. Please.
If you lose the game, which can happen, it's baseball, right?
Yep.
There's a chance Jacob DeGrom doesn't pitch in the postseason.
Yes, and then that...
Can
and
you
that,
live with that?
And that's on your grave.
No, that exactly. Yep. So you lose that game, and I know it's unlikely you lose that game. It's freaking baseball.
Well,
you can lose that game.
Right.
You now open a wild card series in 2 days, unless DeGrom is pitching on short rest, which I doubt. And if he does, probably not as effectively. Could you risk that?
Wild card's the best of three, right?
Yes.
I mean, I got Scherzer pitching game one. I got to feel pretty good about winning the wild card.
But again, I have laid out a scenario where
Jacob DeGrom does not pitch in the postseason.
Doesn't pitch in the postseason. So, because I thought about this a month ago and figured, let's do it. But then I'm realizing to myself, I can't risk that. I can't risk that. So he set it up that way. Hopefully that game doesn't matter because the Mets have already won the division.
Yeah.
But if that game does matter, Craig.
It's a great question.
That's a tough one, bro.
And it's a question for the ages. If it goes well, it goes well. You're good. If it doesn't go well, your best pitcher or your 1A pitcher, with respect to Scherzer, doesn't step on the field in the wild card
round. So the reason
why... Oh, that would suck.
The reason why I liked sticking with the original rotation was I liked Bassett in that spot. Third best pitcher. If you happen to lose that game, is it the end of the world he doesn't start game three? Eh.
We'll get into more of this in just a moment. It's Carton and Roberts on the Fan. Essen Wild joining us here shortly. We'll get all your calls as well. That would be the most Mets thing of all time.